Lord, this morning as we stand here before you, Lord, that we bless your name, Lord, that we worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord, that you are the only true King, Lord, that you are the one who died on a cross for us, Lord, and we praise you and honor you and thank you this morning for all that you have said, Lord, all that you have done within our lives, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44 this morning. Luke chapter 19. This is Palm Sunday. And I just received, if you have not got this app, you probably just received it too. There is, let me get it pulled up here. It says Palm Sunday, April the 13th, 2025, at 11 o'clock. We call it Palm Sunday. On this day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, fulfilling the prophecy of the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And the crowd welcomed him by waving palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna!" The words from Psalm 118, 25 through 26. This is the beginning of Passion Week, the most important week in human history. Interestingly, passion comes from the Greek word meaning to suffer. And we look at it, and there's other stuff that's below it. So if you do not have this app, you know, it is a great app. It'll give you updates every day this week on what is going on and what happened at that point in time whenever during Passion Week. So it's a great little thing. So I had a notification on my watch. I was like, what is that? So I just got a little thing. I said, oh, it started. It has started. The Passion Week. The week of suffering for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we are going to be talking about today. And I've entitled this message, you may look in your bulletin, and you see it says, "Don't miss Jesus." And that's what was happening to a lot of people within that time. And also today, people are missing Jesus. Jesus is going by, and they're not paying attention to what is happening within Jesus. So we need to back up, and we need to get our focus upon Him this morning. Our focus within our lives each and every day upon Jesus Christ. This was a fulfillment of prophecy, which I just read, you know, in this, and we will read this within this passage here also, you know, talking about, you know, what Jesus has done and what He came to do. You know, we bless His name. We praise His name. We do that today because of this week that we're coming upon, including next Sunday. We bless His name because this man, this God-man that was born in Bethlehem of Judea, He is the one who came and lived among us. Lived a sinless life in this world. And they hated Him. The world hated Jesus. The Jews, the religious people, hated Jesus because of who He was. Because He was truly the Son of the living God. And they hung our Savior on a tree. And before they hung Him on a tree, they beat Him. And He sustained that. He took that for me and you this morning. He took that for us. He could have called, and I love where it talks about, you know, in God's Word, I think it is in Luke a little bit later, that He could have called a legion of angels to come and take Him away, but He did not do that because He had a purpose that He had to fulfill, and that was the forgiveness of our sins on His cross. That He took that, and he laid his life down as a sacrifice, as an offering for me and you upon the cross. As we know, this week was the week beginning of Passover. What was Passover? It was the time that the Jews celebrated their coming out of Egypt into the promised land. They came out, so, and they were delivered, and that happened because God made it happen. We know the story of Moses, how he came to the Pharaoh, and he talked to the Pharaoh, you know, and told him, you know, let God's people go, and Pharaoh would not let them go, and God would send a judgment upon them. And then he would go back, Moses would go back and ask again, tell them again to let my people go, and he would refuse. Then it came to the last day, and he said, let my people go. And God told the Israel people to put the blood over the doors, over the post. And if you had the blood over the post of a sacrifice of a lamb, that means that the death angel would pass over you. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, and he put his blood as a covering over us so death would pass over. Man, aren't you glad this morning that you have the blood of Jesus Christ covering you and that you do not have to fear death because you know that you are going to be with Jesus Christ one day? Can I hear it? Man, I thank you. Y'all need to wake up in there. Our Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has come to redeem us. He has come to save us from this dying and sinful and decaying world in which we live in so that we could have eternal life with Him. And there was no way that could happen without the blood of Jesus Christ. And be glad. Worship Him, praise Him each and every day of this week. Man, you can get, you know, you can go online and you can find the updates, or you can start right here in Luke chapter 19, verse 28. You can start right here where He comes in, and you can read from there to the end of the book of Luke, and you can see what Jesus Christ has done for us, what He has went through for us. On the cross of Calvary. Man, that's some good stuff right there. Y'all ain't excited enough. Y'all need to wake up. Y'all need to get up and do a few jumping jacks or something. Come on now. Wake up. Man, we've got a Lord that loves us. We should be happy. We should be joyful in our hearts because of what He has done for us. Whew, I'm going to pass out up here. Verse 28 started. Are y'all there yet? I'm sorry. Y'all there yet? Y'all should be there after that. Come on now. Raise your hand. Nod your head. Something. Give me something. Y'all there yet? Okay. Verse 28. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Why does it say going up to Jerusalem? Y'all ever thought about that? You got it, Miss Retha. Jerusalem's on a mountain. You can only go up to Jerusalem. You can't go down to Jerusalem. So just a bit of geographical thing there. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethsage, you know, in Bethany, that the mountain called Olivet, the Mount of Olives, you know, that he sent two of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you, where you can enter, you will find a colt tied, which no one has ever sat. So let me just stop there just a second and just describe what, you know, is going on here. And man, we may get to the points, we may not. It's all right. So we see this right here and kind of just some knowledge of what's going on here, that he sent his disciples to get a colt that was tied up. What is a colt? It was a colt of a donkey. It was a young donkey that had never been written. So in that day, to show royalty or to show that someone has authority or someone has power, that donkey or that animal, horse, whatever it was, could not have been ridden or any plowed or anything else in order for that person of authority, that person of royalty, to ride that animal. And what did it have? This was a young colt that had never been ridden. Man, we would all be a little nervous about that. Gilbert, be a little nervous about that, getting on a colt ain't never been ridden, ain't you? Man, that thing might throw you. But the problem is we're not Jesus. And Jesus has all power and authority over things of this earth and of heaven. And Jesus had power over that colt, that colt would not throw him. And we see that Jesus, he is fulfilling prophecy here. He is showing who he was and who he is, you know, by coming into town on a colt that had never been ridden. It shows his majesty. It shows his authority. It shows who he is and who we should look, or how we should look at him today, as he is our Lord and our Savior. So we go to verse 31. It says, "And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to them, because the Lord has need of it." So those who were sent their way and found it just as they had said to them, but as they were loosing the colt, the owner of it said to them, "Why are you loosing the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, they spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, saying, "Teachers, rebuke your disciples." And he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these would keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now as they drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this very or in your day, the things that make for your peace, but they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And then I want to read the next one. This is the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So this prophecy was written long before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem of Judea. You know, and we see this prophecy and we look throughout the Old Testament and we see numerous prophecies about Jesus coming. And there's one thing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of that day were supposed to know, and that is the Old Testament, the Torah, you know, God's Word all complete, or what it all said and what was coming. And they were looking for the Savior. They were looking for the Messiah, and they missed it. And there's so many people today that they miss Jesus Christ coming to them. He talks to them. He speaks with them. He convicts them of their sins, and they just pass on by, not acknowledging Him at all. We see the world that we live in, that Jesus is trying to get their attention, but they are ignoring Him. We see here, you know, that they came, you know, in this time, you know, the preparation for the king, you know, the command to go. And in preparing for the king to come, oh, this is good right here now. They were preparing in that day for Jesus to go into Jerusalem, because the king was coming. The king was going to come into Jerusalem, the place where, you know, the Messiah was thought to be born, because that is where the temple was. But oh, look at today. We are commanded to go also, aren't we? Why are we commanded to go? Because the king is coming. Because the king is coming the second time. Folks, God, He is sending His Son, Jesus Christ, back one day. We don't know the day or the time, but we do know He's coming back. He is returning to this world, and we are commanded to go and to preach the gospel so that people will know the King when He comes. And we are to uplift Him. We are to praise Him. We are to adore Him. But we are commanded to go just like they were. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 19 or verse 20, it says, Go ye therefore. While you are going through your daily lives, make disciples. Share Jesus. Tell people about Jesus and what He has done for you in your life. And you don't have to be a theologian in order to share who Jesus Christ is. All you have to do is you have to know Him yourself. Do you know Jesus this morning? That is the only thing that you have to do to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Because if you got saved, you know how to tell someone how to be saved. Man, Jesus Christ is here to save the lost. And He is doing that through the commission of His gospel out into this dark and lonely world. Jesus gave them specific, you know, and I know I don't say that word right, but that's all right. My kids make fun of me at school, but that's okay. I can't say it. But we look at this these instructions that Jesus has given them. He told them where to go, how to do it, you know, what to say if they told Him not to, or they asked Him why He was taking this coat. They gave Him instructions. What does He do for us in the Great Commission? He gives us instructions. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. We see that we have instructions in our day, just like He gave His disciples instructions on that day of what to do in order for the king, in preparation for the king to come. Man, the king is coming today. We don't know the time or the hour, like I just said, but we know that He is coming. But there is also something about the Pacific, and I know I said that. Instructions, but what is it? There's the significance of obedience. Man, He can have that wrote in His Word all day long, and we can read it day after day after day about going out and sharing the gospel, making disciples, you know, baptizing them and teaching them. But until we actually do it, we are obedient to Him. What good is that, them words on paper? Them words on paper that the Lord has given us is meant for us to be obedient. And there's significance to that. You know, and we have a significant way that we have to, or a specific way that we have to share the gospel. And I'm not talking it being difficult. I'm just talking it being one way. Jesus told his disciples in that way exactly what to do. He didn't say, well, go down there, and if you don't find this one, go somewhere else. See if you can find this. And well, if it don't have a colt, just bring the donkey. It doesn't matter. He didn't say that. He gave them specific instructions on what to do, and they were to be obedient in doing that. And that's what we are to do today. We need to be obedient in serving our Lord. Do you have obedience to the Lord and Savior this morning? Are you being obedient to His Word? What He tells you to do? What He asks us to do in our lives? Man, what's the colt? And then we go into the second part of that. You know, the colt's availability. You know, the broken colt or the unbroken colt is a symbol of purity. He's never been ridden, the colt hadn't. God uses us when we surrender all and we lay it all down for Him. And what does He do? He washes this black heart as white as snow. He makes us pure in our lives. He makes us pure so that we can go and we can share the gospel. Pure here does not necessarily mean perfect. Man, we're not perfect. There is no one in this building that is perfect, but we are redeemed and we are covered with the blood of Jesus, and we're able to go out and share what He has given us to share, which is His love. And God's provision in unexpected places. I tell you, this owner of this colt probably would have never dreamed that the disciples would have showed up at his house and it would ask for his colt for the Lord. And I believe we think some days in our life, we believe that, Lord, You'd never show up at my house and asking anything from me. But He does. And He does that on a daily basis. He asks of His children to go out and to be available, to be obedient. And it sometimes comes in unexpected places in our life. Was it Gloria Gaither? She said, God works in the times of controversy, in the inconvenience of life. That's where God works. God, this inconveniences me. Lord, this gets me off my pattern. Lord, this gets me out of my routine. That's what God is trying to do. Because you know what a routine is and a rut is? You know, that's just a grave with both ends kicked out. That's all a rut is. You just do the same thing over and over and over again. And God's trying to pull you out of that rut so you can go somewhere. So let us be available. Even in the unexpected places in life, God provides great mercy and grace in our life. And it can also impact others around us. Because others need Jesus. And if we're not being obedient, then what's going to happen to that other person? Say, well, someone else will tell them. But it's not someone else's responsibility, it's ours. To go out and to share the love that Jesus has for them. And it a lot of times comes through building relationships with people. Are you building relationships with people around you? Why only hang out with Christians? Only hang out with people that are saved? And you might have to go find some lost people to hang around with and build a relationship with and share the gospel with them. It's easy, folks. It's easy to hang around with Christians as a Christian. It's easy. What's difficult for us is to go out and to make relationships and do great things for the Lord. We have to get out of our comfort zone. They had a great proclamation of praise too in number two, Jordan. You know, the disciples' declaration, you know, in 19 and 37, he says, then as they were drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, praise is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. We see this joyful worship and recognition of Jesus Christ and what he has done. What did they do? They looked back at the things that they had seen in their life. Of all the miracles, of all the mighty things, the love that Jesus has shown. Folks, we can look back in our life and we can see God carrying us along and how he got us through different situations within our lives, and we need to worship him and praise him. I always say, what is that old saying? Hindsight is 20/20. It's hard to see it sometimes in the time or in the present, but when we get through it, we can look back and we can see where God brought us from. How he brought us through that tragedy, that time in our life, you know, with so much struggle. And God was there with us and he helped guide us and he helped direct us within our lives. And we can look and think, thank you, Lord. It's just like that old poem, Footprints in the Sand. You know, y'all know that old poem. It's been around for years. But what is that talking about? You know, Lord, you were never with me. All I could see was one set of footprints in the sand through my troubles. And Jesus said it because I was carrying you. It was Jesus' footprints that were in that sand, not ours, because we couldn't go through it ourselves. We needed Jesus to carry us through in our lives. Can anyone testify that they've been through situations in their life where that they couldn't see? They thought, well, Jesus, where are you? Jesus, where are you? And he is right there carrying you along the way. Because life is hard. And this world that we live in, as it tells us in God's word, that we're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. This is not our home. We need to make sure that we know Jesus and we worship him and recognize him, you know, for who he is and for what he has done for us in our life. Then this is where, you know, we read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, you know, is the fulfillment of prophecy. And we can see that, you know, within this passage, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having what? Salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the fold of a donkey. You know, they would think, and this time, you know, that what is the great warriors and the great captains, what do they ride? They ride horses, man. They ride the colt of horses, man. They're mighty, they're big. And then Jesus comes in lowly on a colt of a donkey. We looked at it and says, well, that's weird that Jesus did that. How was Jesus? Where was Jesus born? In a stable. In a lowly place, not around the temple in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem. And he does that to show us that, man, he is different than these other kings. He is what we call, he is the suffering servant. And that's what we look at in our life, and we should think about, you know, all that Jesus has done for us, and we should lead by, or we should be an example of what he has done. We should lead by being a servant. And I was at FBLA this last week, last Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, but Monday, and some of the state officers, they were talking or giving their speech, telling about them as they were going out. And there was one young man, I can't remember where he was from, but he was one of the state officers, and he had in his speech that he had recorded talking about the best way to lead is to serve. And he quoted scripture to back it up. The best way to lead is to serve. Man, God's looking for those who will serve and lead within His church. He's looking for that today. We see this fulfillment of prophecy, you know, within Zechariah that shows who Jesus is, and that the people missed it. Because this was not the only prophecy. There was prophecies throughout the Old Testament that Jesus had already fulfilled numerous prophecies that He fulfilled, showing that He was the Son of God, that He was the Messiah that had come to deliver us from our sins. But people missed it because they were looking for something else. Even the disciples at the beginning, they were looking for something else. What were they looking for? They were looking for the king to come and to be born and to be raised up and to defeat Rome. And that would make the Jews free. But I tell you, defeating your enemies here on this earth is not what makes you free. What makes you free is defeating sin. And the only way that you can do that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we think, you know, through this and think of what He has done for us, we look at what we should do. And that is what the crowd's response was. And this is not just talking about the 12 disciples, because there were still 12 at that point in time. It's not talking about just the 12 disciples. It says there was great numbers of disciples, people that followed Jesus at that time. He had people all around Him that had seen the miracles that He had performed. They had seen who He truly was, and they were following Him. And they come to this point where they were going down from the Mount of Olives, and the crowd started praising Him, shouting, "Blessed is the what? The King." Who is the king? He is the head person. He is the one who has come to be in control. We should have Jesus in control of our lives, but why did they shout? Why does it say in verse 38? Let's start verse 37. We done read it once, but we'll read it again. Then as He was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to worship and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. And then He talks about what they were saying. And I love this saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." We see this great realm of what Jesus came. He came to bring peace, didn't He? That's why they missed it. They thought He was going to bring peace between Jews and Romans, but He was bringing peace between us and the Father through His Son and what He has done. So we see the impact of, you know, this collective worship. Folks, whenever we come together to worship, man, it breaks down the barriers around you. It breaks down our own barriers in our life. And we recognize that, man, God is good. He is good, folks. We have a good, good Father that loves us and takes care of us. And He is worthy of our praise. Worthy of our worship within our life. And that makes an impact on those around us. If we never worship the Lord, if we never show people and tell people how much we love the Lord, what kind of impact is that going to make on other people's life? None, because we can talk all day long. But until we prove it with our actions, that's where the difference is made. We need to worship Him. And the last thing, you know, is the preparation, you know, in of the city. Jesus' compassion, you know, over this, or His perception of the city. Jesus' compassion, weeping over Jerusalem's lostness. Man, He went into the city. In verse 41, it says, "Now as He drew near, He saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this, your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes.'" They missed it. Folks, it was there. If Jesus is weeping, say, if you would have just surrendered, if you would have just recognized me for who I am, if you would have just done that, then you would have been saved. But you rejected me. You said that I am not worthy of your praise, and He had great compassion on them. He loved them, and it made Him so sad and sad, you know, because of the lostness around Him. And I think He still looks today at our lives and this world that we live in, and He still weeps over the sadness of the ones who continue to reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. The weeping over Jerusalem's lostness. The heart of God for the broken. And He still has that heart today. And you know who else should have that heart today? Born again believers in Jesus Christ. We should have a broken heart for the lostness within our city, with the lostness within our world. And that is because we know and we understand who Jesus Christ is and what He has done for us. And we want everyone to have that. But so often, we have no compassion. We have no drive to go tell people about Jesus. But there are consequences too. This rejection. The warnings of destruction. We are going over right now on Sunday night. We're going through the book of Revelation. You know, and we see, you know, the judgment of God being poured out on this world. And there is prophetic warnings of destruction to come if you reject Jesus Christ. The importance of recognizing the time of visitation. And that's what they were saying. Jesus says, "I am here right now. I am standing before you. I have did miracles in front of you, and you still reject me. In my time of invitation that I have invited you, even now you're rejecting Him." And folks, they were rejecting Him, but it is the same way today. He's given you an invitation today to worship Him, to recognize Him for who He is and for what He has done. We are given that opportunity in this time of visitation because His Holy Spirit is visiting us today. And He is calling you and He is asking you to give your life, to surrender to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Messiah, as your Lord. It is important to recognize that the time is drawing near to the end. And people need to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus before it's eternally too late. So Jesus, on this Palm Sunday, they brought Jesus into town on a colt. They laid their jackets. They got palm branches, and they were waving them as royalty was coming in. They were worshiping Him and praising Him. And then about 4 days later, they were cursing Him. Folks, what are we doing with Jesus in our life? Are we looking at Jesus for what he can do for us? Or do we look at Jesus for what he has done for us on the cross? Well, I want Jesus because I want a genie in a bottle. Jesus is no genie in a bottle. He is the Savior of the world, the one who loves you and cares for you. And he wants a relationship with you today during his time of visitation. Because he is visiting with you today in your heart. He's calling you. He's telling you, you know, come to me, you that are lowly. Come to me, those who are lost. Come to me, those who are sick. Come to me, because I have healing in my life. So as we have a time of invitation, what is Jesus asking you to do today? I know he's asking all of us to surrender our all to him, be obedient to his call. The question is have you surrendered to Jesus today? For salvation, for commitment, Jesus wants to do something miraculous within our lives. And sometimes it comes in mysterious and unexpected ways. Don't tell Jesus, I didn't think it would come this way. This is not what I was looking for. I was looking for it to come this way. This is the way I wanted it to happen. And Jesus says, come in the way that I draw you. And that is what he's asking for us. As we stand this morning, have a time of invitation. Lord, we just thank you so much for your love and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Lord, that you did not deserve, Lord, but you went there freely so that we could have a relationship with you, Lord. Lord, I just ask your Holy Spirit to do a mighty work on the ones here today, Lord, the ones that will hear this later on, Lord, that they would surrender all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.